Sandra's Italian Village in Caldwell, New Jersey. It's Inside the Jets on 98.7 ESPN. Here's Larry Hardesty and Eric Allen.
And we're brought to you by EY, Building a Better World. Welcome to Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. Larry Hardesty alongside my tag team partner, Eric Allen. EA was all over the internet yesterday. I saw you talking to Marty Lyons. I saw you doing all your stuff. Heard you in the locker room talking to guys. You did a nice job yesterday.
Well, I appreciate that,
nice
partner.
Nice job. Inside this edition of Inside the Jets, we've got a bunch of guests for you this week.
Yeah, we got three this week, right?
Yeah, we got three guests this week. Leonard Williams is in the house. He's standing by, getting ready to order right now, so we know that he's going to be well fed in a second. Then we got two O-linemen coming down, Wesley Johnson and also Benno Giacomini. So we're in the trenches inside this edition of Inside the Jets.
Yeah, I think we're going to line up Wesley Johnson and Benno Giacomini together.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
And I think it will be fun. You know, Breno's a character, and Wesley, a Vanderbilt alum up here, so we're going to have some fun with those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've talked a lot of football this year about the Jets. We've talked a lot about how they've lost games. And yesterday for me, I know there were a lot of Jet fans who did not have a good dinner yesterday. That was as tough a loss as they've had this year. For you to be able to fight back and come play, which was, it was a back and forth game for most of the game, you take the lead late in the game, and then to have a mistake cause a re-kick that ends the game for you on the touchdown, that's as tough a game as they've had. And EA, it's about what we've talked about all year. It's about mistakes. It's about penalties. It's about self-inflicted wounds. It's about things that have hurt this team all season.
It was a seesaw affair. The Jets had the lead in the fourth quarter, 23-20. And when it comes down to it, you look at it. 10 penalties, that ties the season high. The Jets lost in the turnover department, had a pair of interceptions, one deep inside their own territory that helped Miami put a field goal on the board, one that took points off the board as Ryan Fitzpatrick threw off his back foot there late, was intercepted. So the Jets go -2. They also gave up in crunch time with that 23-20 lead a 96-yard kickoff return to the house. So you put all those things together, and then on top of it, the Jets moved the football Sunday.
Yep.
But they finished with just one touchdown inside the red zone, just 1 of 5 inside the red zone. So you put all those things together, it's kind of amazing the Jets were in the game, and that's why the guys, and we'll talk to Leonard about this, we'll talk to Wesley about this, we're going to talk to Breno about this as well. That's why the guys were so mad in the locker room, because physically, when you look at the game and you watch that ball game, they won a lot of battles in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do those things in the National Football League and win games. And that was a disappointed locker room, bottom line, because 10 penalties, you lose in the turnover department, you give up a big play on special teams, you cannot convert in the red zone. All that spells a tough defeat against a divisional rival when the Jets were very close to picking up a third straight win and being 4-5.
You know, there was a lot of talk in the storyline going into the game. EA was obviously Jets' number one defense against Jay Ajayi, who had back-to-back 200-plus yard games. Well, they did the job there. He did not get 200-plus yards there. He got some yards late in the game, but they did, overall, I thought they did a nice job with him, and they were able to get some pressure on Ryan Tannehill as well.
Yeah, you're right about Ajayi. At the end of the day, he had 111 yards, and I know Leonard's not going to be happy with that either, is the rest of that defense. But late in the ball game, when he picked up a large chunk of those yards, the Jets were actually trying to strip the football out to get the football back and create a takeaway there. In the first half, when the game was in balance, the Jets contained Ajayi. I watched it early. What was so frustrating was a microcosm of that ball game is that the Jets, Ajayi's first three carries, he was stopped behind the line of scrimmage. Unfortunately, the Jets had three penalties on that first drive for 35 yards. Who am I to question the officials, but there were a couple calls there early I don't know, Larry. I don't know what you thought about when you're watching that ball game, but the Buster screen call on Landry, I thought that was ticky-tack.
Well, I'll tell you right now what I thought, EA. I thought that the Jets were penalized for celebrating and Miami wasn't.
Right.
I mean, I saw Landry celebrating. I saw a couple of players celebrating, and they didn't get flagged.
Yeah.
So that's what I saw.
Yeah, so I'm going to be called a homer right here, right now, and I don't really care because I'm telling you how I feel. If I thought those penalties were legit calls and I didn't have a problem with them, I wouldn't have said anything. But those couple of fouls on that first drive, really tough to handle. I mean, Calvin Pryor, he's celebrating. And at times, you know why the NFL gets...
No fun league.
The no fun league, right? The acronym, the no fun league. But, you know, 10 penalties is way too much. So they stop Ajayi in that first drive. Three stops behind the line of scrimmage, but then he got free for the 20-yard touchdown. And penalties were an issue throughout the game. I go back to that last sequence before the kickoff return. There was a false start penalty on the extra point attempt. Then the offsides play on Antonio Allen. Again, you look at the replay on that one. Todd Bowles was not complaining about it today. But I saw those still shots. I don't know. But again, kickoff deep and goes to the house the other way. Tough, bitter defeat for the Jets. We saw Bryce Petty get his first action in the National Football League. I love what Chan Gailey did on his first play. Mm-hmm. He didn't pass the ball. I mean, he didn't run the ball. You would think most offensive coordinators are like, I'm going to get my guys' feet wet. This is his first step in the National Football League. No, he called a nice, safe running back screen to Bilal Powell, picked up some yards, and Bryce handled himself well. Ben Igelana talked about that on a conference call today. Said, hey, this guy's not a rookie. It's his second year in the system. He came in. He was ready for action. But Todd Bowles spoke about it on the conference call later after the players addressed the media that Ryan Fitzpatrick has a sprained knee. If he can go Sunday, he will be our starter against the L.A. Rams. He gives us our best chance to win. Now, if Fitz can't go Wednesday or Thursday, and then by the time Friday comes around and Fitz can't operate at practice, Bryce Petty will get the call and he'll make his first start in the National Football League against the L.A. Rams. So we'll have to see how it progresses.
It's going to be interesting because everybody, look, the backup quarterback is the most popular guy in the room. But the fans, everybody wants to see what the backup quarterback can do. And this is a young guy. And listen, I know you get questions. I take calls on it all the time about, well, I want to see Bryce Petty. I want to see Christian Hackenberg. I want to see what they can do. But here's the thing. From a fan standpoint, you understand it. But from a player standpoint, you talk to guys in the locker room. When you make a change like that to a young quarterback, that sends a notice to that you've given up on this season. And they're not ready to give up on the season yet. Until they are mathematically eliminated, EA, there's a good chance that you're not going to see a quarterback change unless there's an injury. And so Todd Bowles made it clear. He said it on the conference call, said it on the Michael Kay show here on 98.7 ESPN as well. Told Don LaGreca and Michael Kay, here's the bottom line. If he's not able to practice, I got to go with my backup because that means that Bryce Petty will be ready to play. What it does mean is that Bryce Petty's going to get more and more reps this week because he's got to be ready in case Fitz can't go. So that's what you want. You want him to be prepared. You will eventually see him. If the way things are going, you're eventually going to see Bryce Petty. It may not be this week, may not be the first game out of the bye, but sometime during this year, you'll see him. The thing is, which is so sad about Ryan Fitzpatrick, is EA, he had back-to-back games where he didn't turn the football over. He had back-to-back games where you saw him manage the game well, make good decisions, look the defenders off. Yesterday was not one of those games. He had a miscommunication on one, and he hit the lineman right in between the numbers on the second one because they dropped him into coverage, and he was trying to fit the type window. Didn't see the defensive lineman make the adjustment.
31 touchdown passes last year. He threw her nearly 4,000 yards. The Jets had a pair of 1,000-yard receivers in Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. Fitz had a career year last year. This year so far leads the National Football League in terms of interceptions with 13. I go back to the red zone efficiency. The Jets last year were dynamite inside the red zone. Of course, they're operating without Eric Decker. They've had to learn how to play without Eric Decker. They're not going to use that as an excuse because every team in the National Football League deals with injuries. But the bottom line is the Jets in 2015, when they set a franchise record in terms of total yards, they were number three in the National Football League in terms of red zone efficiency. This year, they're 31st in terms of red zone efficiency, and Fitz leads the NFL with 13 interceptions. All that being said, like you said, Brandon Marshall said today, it's par for the course. In the NFL, when a team is struggling, when they're struggling offensively, everybody is going to point to the quarterback. And Ryan Fitzpatrick said it after the game in Miami. He said, listen, I have to be better. He was game. He was tough. He fought. And that's what you expect from Fitzpatrick each and every week. And he's as gritty as they come. 12th year in the National Football League, sixth team. The Jets just haven't been able to duplicate that success offensively. What I really like for them early on in that ball game is they ran it well in the first half. 110 yards rushing. Matt Forte had a 31-yard touchdown as Chan Gailey employed a jumbo set. The Jets had a ton of linemen up front. I believe six offensive linemen and Brandon Bostic in the game. Dakota Dozier come in there, gave a nice seal block. Forte scoots for 31 yards. Then the next drive, he had a 32-yard run. Then you look in the second half, the Jets only had 30 yards rushing. So you didn't have that run game in the second half. You mentioned Fitz's interception. It didn't seem like the Jets got that offensive rhythm. They came out of the gates yesterday with a great offensive plan. They scored on their first three possessions, but two of them were field goals. So we get back to the red zone again.
Yeah. And that's been the big difference.
Yep.
Last year they got sevens. This year they're getting threes. And it's funny, every time you get a three, you're a point closer to losing, EA, because when the other team gets seven and you're getting three, you end up chasing that touchdown over and over and over again, and they just haven't been able to lock that in.
Yeah, and they had the game in their hands, 23-20, and then the special teams miscue there at the end with the kickoff return for the touchdown. The offense gets the ball back. They can't do anything. And it's kind of a microcosm of the Jets season because you think about some of these games, they have not been manhandled physically. I go back to week one in Cincinnati, and the Jets lose a one-point game at home. You know, and I came away from that ball game at MetLife Stadium thinking the Jets were the better team physically up front, but they did not execute at critical junctures. And then there were other times along the way where self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, yesterday was just really tough because I thought it was a microcosm of what we've seen from this team so far this season that just wasn't all together. And still, they were right there. It was right in their grasp.
When you go on the road against a divisional opponent and you have the lead with less than 6 minutes left in the game, you'll sign up for that EA every time. If you could say, look, this is what we want. We want to have the lead late in the game on the road. You'll sign up for that. And just to be unable to lock that in and then to have it snatched from you just as soon as you got the lead, that's the thing that really hurt them emotionally. And you could see it. You could see the frustration. You could hear it. You know, listening, because we did the post-game show, you heard the athletes. You heard them just devastated by that because that's as tough as a way to lose. That's almost like losing on a last-second field goal. It's that tough because you had the lead. That's a tough one. That's really a tough one. But the guys are going to tell you when they come up here, we're moaning about it today, tomorrow. Cleanse, well, we get ready for the Rams.
Well, here's the deal. You got seven games to go. You're 3-6. Everybody at home's writing off the season and saying, hey, how high a draft pick can the Jets get? And let's move on to next season. That is not the way things work. The bottom line is you are going to play to win the game. Just like Herm Edwards said way back in the day, you play to win the game each and every week. When the Jets, if they are mathematically eliminated from the postseason, then you can turn even further to the evaluation of young players on your roster. But still, you have to look at some of the positives you're seeing from some of these young guys. Like Robbie Anderson got in the end zone yesterday. They ruled him down, but he's making plays. We've seen Wesley Johnson come on for Nick Mangold the last couple weeks, and he's played well, I think, at center. Ben Ijelana continues to fill in and do a nice job.
Jalen Marshall, first touchdown.
Jalen Marshall, first touchdown of his career. We're talking about Leonard Williams here in the house today. He's got 6 sacks after having, I believe, 2.5 his rookie season. He set a goal for himself. He said, I got to get to the quarterback. I got to get there quicker this year. Well, he's got 6 sacks. He's part of the foundation of what you're going to build upon. There is a lot to play for. I don't care about the record. When people are talking at home and thinking about next year's draft, that is not the way it works. Believe me, that is not the way it works. The Jets want to get a win this week, and then maybe they can get on a run after the bye. And then you have to see young player development, so that helps you into 2017 and beyond, bottom line. And, and like you said, key point here is Fitz is the guy right now if he can go. If he can't go, it's Bryce Petty next week, and Bryce Petty is probably going to get his chance at some point this season anyway.
Selective Insurance is your solution for auto, home, business, and flood insurance. Visit Selective.com today and find an agent near you. Selective response is everything. You're listening to Inside the Jets. When we return, we'll be joined by Leonard Williams. He'll come by and talk a little bit. A little bit later in the show, we'll go on the other side of the football and talk to Wesley Johnson and Brando Giacomini. And still further in the show, we'll take your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. Lots to do inside this edition of Inside the Jets is presented by EY on 98.7 ESPN.
All of us at Selective knew from a young age that insurance was in our DNA. Some kids started lemonade stands. We reviewed their insurance risks. Others built tree houses. We created their safety plans. Kids crashed their bikes. We assessed the damage. Selective took this raw talent and honed our skills. We're here to help you with unique auto, home, business, and flood insurance options and respond quickly to your needs. Don't you deserve peace of mind? Find the diamond at Selective.com.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
Hey Jets fans, nothing beats being there live to cheer your favorite team on to victory. Prime Sport, the official travel partner of the Jets, is your source for tickets, hotel accommodations, and VIP experiences to all of the biggest sporting events in the country. From NFL to college football and basketball, get your official tickets, travel, and VIP packages and more at PrimeSport.com. Don't just watch it on TV. Go to PrimeSport.com for the ultimate game day experience.
GEICO presents Unanswerable Questions.
Can a person daydream at night? Why aren't eyebrows considered facial hair? Or the most perplexing of them all, why doesn't everyone switch to GEICO when they could save 15% or more on car insurance? But you could be a part of the answer by switching to GEICO and saving hundreds for yourself. Money you could put toward a campaign for eyebrows to be properly recognized as the facial hair they are.
GEICO, the answer to savings. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Calandra's has been synonymous with great Italian food in northern New Jersey for over 50 years. With 3 award-winning restaurants, 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium, Cucina Calandra, Calandra's Mediterranean Grill, and Il Vecchio Cafe are all great options before or after a game. As an official partner of the New York Jets, we offer 20% off on game day at any of our locations when you show your Jets rewards card or ticket. Each with family-friendly atmospheres, our restaurants offer unique menus from a la carte to family style, along with gluten-free options. Find out more on calandras.net.
Hey, Jet fans. Everyone loves to stay connected, but the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission would like to remind you that texting or talking while you drive is not only dangerous, it's against the law in New Jersey. It can cost you money, your license, or even someone's life. If you're behind the wheel, please put down the phone and just drive. Get the facts and share your thoughts at JustDrive.com. This message brought to you by the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission.
Calandra's Bakery, the official bakery of the New York Jets, has been serving delicious, high-quality baked goods for over 50 years. Using the freshest and most wholesome ingredients, all of their products are handcrafted the old-fashioned way. Calandra's provides hot bread every hour at their retail locations in Newark, Fairfield, and Caldwell, New Jersey. Their whole grain breads are also available in most supermarkets in the tri-state area. Stop by and see why they've been voted best in the state. Find out more at calandrasbakery.com.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. While NFL coaches and players use Surface Pro 4 this season, fans at home can show their fandom with the same device. Now available, the Surface Special Edition NFL Type Covers. And for a limited time, buy a Surface Pro 4 and any NFL Type Cover and get 15% off NFL Game Pass and a chance to win Super Bowl 51 tickets. Visit surface.com/NFL to learn more. Get your Surface at a Microsoft store or online today. Must be U.S. resident, 18 or older, ends January 1st, 2017. See website for official rules.
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Welcome back to Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. Everybody here, make some noise. Let everybody know you're having a good time here in Calandra's. Hey, Jet fans. Does your child have what it takes to be the next Jet Kid Reporter? Well, visit JetsKidReporter.com to find out. EA, time to welcome our next guest.
All right, the Jets are 3-6. We know that. They've endured a lot of struggles here early in the 2016 season. One reason to be excited about the rest of this season and 2017 beyond is somebody who joins us right now on Inside the Jets in Caldwell, New Jersey, Leonard Williams. Leonard, when you get on that plane, coming back from South Florida last night, what's going through your mind?
There's a lot going on in my mind. You know, like you said, we've been dealing with a lot of early on issues early on in the season. And, we've been trying to correct those issues. We had some ups. We were looking going 5-5 into the bye week. And, obviously that's not happened now. But, you know, most of all, it was a division game, and it really mattered. So we needed to get that win. And it was a good game, a lot of back and forth. But, in the end of the day, we didn't pull it off, and we didn't finish. And it came down to a few key plays here and there. But overall, you know, I'm never going to question anybody's effort on the team.
Leonard, this had to be for the players, and EA mentioned it in the first question, as tough a loss as you guys have had all year because of the fact that you have the lead late in the game. Mm-hmm. What was the game plan in trying to slow down Jay Ajayi going in? Because that was the big talk. He with the back-to-back 200-yard games on the ground. You guys number one against the rush. And it seemed like a lot of talking out there early in the game.
Yeah, there was a lot of talking early on in the game. Like you said, it was a big talk about whether he was going to set the record and get over 200 yards three games back-to-back. And stuff like that. So, you know, we're a prideful front. Like, you know, everybody knows we pride ourselves on stopping the run. So when we hear that, you know, we're definitely going to take on the challenge face on. And, I think we did an overall good job of holding them. But, we gave up some big runs later on in the game that, you know, the numbers ended up getting to what we don't, you know, set our standards for. But, you know, it was some big runs later in the game that.
How disappointing were the penalties? Because that first drive especially, you guys, I thought you were getting real good penetration. Mm. You were winning individual battles in the trenches. But at the end of that first drive, it's 7-3 because Ajayi ended up going up. He busts through a hole there for a 20-yard gain after you guys contained him for most of that possession.
Yeah, I think that's a frustrating thing is, we really have to put everything together. It's playing smart, playing physical, you know, playing tough and all that stuff. You have to bring all of it together to win, you know. So we were playing physical, we were playing fast, but then we weren't playing smart with the penalties, you know. And, we were getting TFLs and stuff like that, but then it's getting taken right back from us with the penalties. So, you know, we talked about it in the locker room and we were like, let's cut off the penalties. You know, we're shooting ourselves in the foot and stuff like that. And, we came out and took the lead in the second half, and, we just need to finish, like I said.
Who were you matched up with along that talented front most of the day on Sunday?
I was up on Pouncey a lot and Tunzel on the right side and the left guard mostly, just mostly on the inside guys. And there are pretty athletic guys. You could tell from their scheme of running, their O-line run size.
They try to hit the perimeter on you guys, right?
Exactly.
And he did a nice job with that. Pouncey, matching up with him, what was that experience like for you? You probably, I don't remember, was he healthy last year when you guys played Miami?
I think he was when we played him in London,
maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, because he's one of the more athletic centers in the National Football League.
Exactly, yeah. He's really athletic. He almost reminds me of a D lineman that's playing O-line. And it's funny, actually, because I grew up watching the Gators, and I was actually like a big fan of the Pouncey brothers and stuff like that, so it was cool to play against them. And, you know, he's a really competitive guy, and I'm a really competitive guy. So, you know, we're going at it a little bit. But, you know, at the end, we're saying it's all love. And, you know, he's a great guy to go against. So.
What's the adjustment been like for you and other members of the D-line when you get to the quarterback and now word gets around and the quarterbacks are quickening their throws, shortening the routes, and making it tougher for you to sack the quarterback, even though you're still pressuring him?
Yeah, I mean, that's really tough. You know, that's where the whole defense has to buy in and help out each other. You know, sometimes we can cause interceptions for the secondary by hitting the quarterback, and sometimes they can help us get sacks by holding up the receivers, you know. So if they hold the – you know, a lot of times they'll hold the receiver for just that split second longer and we can get to the quarterback. And, you know, the defense has to work in tandem, so – we were getting into him a lot last night. We only ended up with one sack, I think. But, you know, we had a lot of hits on him, and I think we did a pretty good job of disrupting him.
Has the game slowed down for you in year two? We talk about it often in the locker room. You look like a veteran from day one last year, and everybody was impressed. Anybody who knows football was impressed with your rookie season. Some people said, maybe from afar, they looked at it and said, well, he didn't have a ton of sacks in his rookie season, so he wasn't a dominant player. No, you might not have been a dominant player, but I thought you looked like a seasoned vet last year, but you've taken your game to another level in year two. Why?
Like you said, it's been something we've been talking about since the last game of last season, and it's just something I wanted to work on, getting to the quarterback a lot more, building up those numbers, TFL sacks and stuff like that. And you know, I think the biggest thing going into this year since OTAs is I just feel more comfortable out there. You know, it's you know, I had that year under my belt now, and you know, I know what's coming, and I see things a lot slower. Like you said, it just slows down.
One more game before the bye week. You looking forward to the bye week?
Actually, I'm looking forward to the bye week. I never had a, you know, 10, well, actually, college, we don't get a bye week, so. But 10 games straight before a bye week, that's pretty long. And I think everybody needs this little break, get our bodies back recovered, and, you know, look forward to the games after.
How challenging is it to rush the passer from an interior position? I know you've been living in the interior basically your whole life, but a lot of people see folks from the outside coming from the edge, and sometimes they can just use the speed rush. You are hand-to-hand combat immediately off the snap, and people expect you to get to the quarterback still.
Yeah, like you said, the difference between the inside rusher and the outside rusher is outside rusher, you know, he's going to take like 5 or 6 steps before he meets his guy. And with the interior guy, as soon as the ball snapped, you're already face-to-face with your man. So you got to have something. You got to have quick reaction skills. You know, as soon as they do something, you got to react to it. And, you know, a lot of times you get double-teamed inside too, because the center is a helper, and like if he sees this guard getting beat, then he's going to come over there to help him out. And you know, most of the times on the outside, you're going to have a one-on-one with the tackle and stuff like that, so it's a lot harder on the inside, I think, especially with the double teams most of all.
Leonard, listen, thanks for coming by tonight. Enjoy the rest of the season, especially the bye week. And enjoy the rest of the season as well. All right, so Leonard Williams, everybody. Hey, Jet fans, it's time to COOK with the JETS. It's season 4 of the Jets Cooking School, presented by Chase. Continues on Saturday, November 12th, with a make and take barbecue class. For the full season lineup and to register, visit ice.edu/Jets. When we return, we'll have not one, but two offensive linemen inside the Jets. That's Bruno Giacomini and Wesley Johnson. That's next on Inside the Jets, presented by EY on 98.7 ESPN.
I knew at a young age that insurance was in my DNA. When other kids were starting lemonade stands, I was reviewing their insurance risks. So I joined Selective's team of specialists and spent years honing my skills. Now I spot risks, offer unique insurance options, and respond quickly to customers' needs. Learn about us and our auto, home, business, and flood insurance solutions. Don't you deserve peace of mind? Find the diamond at Selective.com.
Hey Jets fans, nothing beats being there live to cheer your favorite team on to victory. Prime Sport, the official travel partner of the Jets, is your source for tickets, hotel accommodations, and VIP experiences to all of the biggest sporting events in the country. From NFL to college football and basketball, get your official tickets, travel, and VIP packages and more at PrimeSport.com. Don't just watch it on TV. Go to PrimeSport.com for the ultimate game day experience.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
GEICO brings you endorsements from the backup to the backup punter.
I'm the backup punter to the backup punter. The only time I'm on the field is when I'm headed to the locker room. Do I get high fives? Nope. Sign autographs? Nuh-uh. My jersey? It's never been washed. I'm just a kicker kicking it on the sidelines. But I did score on my car insurance by switching to GEICO. They saved me money faster than Coach could say, Jenkins, you're in. Even though Coach would never say that.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Welcome back to Colangelo's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. Hey, Jet fans, you can follow the Jets on Instagram at NYJets. This is where Jet fans like you get photos and videos of your favorite players and access you can't get anywhere else, EA.
Well, we got a tandem up here, and I'm feeling quite small right now. I think I'm an average-size American, maybe 5'9 or so, but we brought up two-fifths of the Jets' offensive line. And Wesley Johnson, who filled in for Nick Mangold Sunday in Miami. And Breno Giacomini, who's just recently returned off the PUP. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Breno, how'd this guy do at center on Sunday? Getting a second straight start there in the middle for Nick Mangold.
He did pretty good. You know, the more he plays, the more he learns. And it keeps getting better, you know. You can't get experience anywhere else besides the game. So he's getting better every game. It's good to see.
Wesley, what's the toughest thing for you at the center? I mean, Nick Mangold makes all the calls, points out all the defenses, all the stuff. I mean, is that something that you have to do? How tough is that, and how comfortable are you with it?
They're obviously huge shoes to fill. I think he's one of the best centers in the league, and he takes a lot of responsibility. Takes a lot of ownership and everything, and I get put in the middle of four pretty good offensive linemen. You know, they're there talking to me. Breno has a lot of experience. Clady, Carp, Brian, they all help a lot, and they kind of make my job easier.
How would you describe Breno on the field? Because to me, just watching from the press box level, he's a brawler. He's a street brawler, and he doesn't mind mixing it up. And Leonard's not in agreement over there.
Yeah, he's the absolute best guy to have on your team because he'll just look for a pile and you'll see 68 flying over the top of it. So it's great. It's great playing with him.
Is he a nonstop talker on the field?
He talks, but
he talks to Wes.
Yeah, he talks to me, but he stays brawling. He doesn't really have time to talk. Yeah,
to catch my breath.
Yeah, Breno, how tough was it going through the injury, rehabbing, and then watching the guys not being out there to help them? And how tough is it? Just take the fans, because we always hear that for players, like we're not even part of the team when we're rehabbing.
Yeah, that's exactly true. You're by yourself a lot of the time. It's tough, especially for me. I want to be out there. I like to practice. I like to go to work every day. It's just tough, man. You can't go out there and battle with them. But at the same time, you got to understand that this is part of the sport. This is that's the price that we pay to go out there and do what we do sometimes. So you're just grinding, trying to get better, man. When they showed up for training camp, it was a huge boost for me, you know. It was good just to see Wes and all the guys, you know, and mess around the locker room and all that. So it was a big boost, but it's when you're hurt, it's tough, but you just got to, you know, think about those guys and how you can come back and help.
And what was the rehab like in trying to get back to getting healthy?
Every day, you know, it was pretty intense. A lot of pool action. We have some of the great trainers in the league, and, you know, they're committed to us no matter how long it takes. So it was a long summer, but it worked out.
Wesley, what do you think about the run game, especially in the first half against Miami? Because the last 2 weeks, you guys have really gotten the ball moving on the ground against Baltimore's number one ranked rush defense.
Yeah.
Did a nice job, and then come back against Cleveland and really got those guys, the backfield, churning yards. And then yesterday, I thought you came out and set the tone on the ground again.
Yeah, you know, yesterday obviously didn't work out how we wanted, but we love getting the ground game going. You know, everybody kind of starts to sort of feed off each other. We see Matt break tackles. We see Bilal make these awesome runs. And, you know, it gets us going. It gets us blocking harder. You know, we got to strain just a little bit extra for these guys. So maybe that, you know, the full tackle becomes an arm tackle and they can break it and, you know, get those extra yards.
You know, from your vantage point, can you take me through Forte's 31-yard touchdown run? Because I thought Chan Gailey did a real nice job early, guys, mixing up personnel and formations, and that came out of a jumbo look, I think.
Yeah, well, we had Dakota in there at tight end, and he made a great block. Sealed it off, blocked everybody, you know, down inside. I think it was Bostic sealed the guy outside, and Matt went untouched. It was great.
Bueno, when Bryce Petty comes in, and you know he's coming in for Fitzpatrick, and you're not sure whether Fitzpatrick's coming back or whatnot, how important is it to hear him run that huddle when he comes in, what he says? And you can tell a lot from a young quarterback with how he handles that huddle.
You know, we go through it in practice. You know, that's the first thing. That's how we get the reps. That's how we get used to and accustomed to a new quarterback. Because that's something that he does that nobody else does, is talk in the huddle, right?
Yeah.
So you can kind of see his confidence and his swagger, I guess, when the quarterback steps into the huddle. But we've seen it in practice. You know, we prepare for it. He's number two now, so he gets ton reps in practice. And we were ready for it. You know, as an offensive lineman, it really doesn't matter who you're blocking for. You know, you just got to do your job. But for him to step in there and sound confident and take over that huddle and, you know, complete a pass and get going, it was pretty cool to see.
But he's the big guy out on the island at right tackle. You're the guy snapping to him. So when you see Fitz go down, because it looked like it appeared he was actually going to take that next snap, then he turns around, crumbles to his knees. The doctors, training personnel came out, and then Bryce starts working on snaps immediately. Yeah. What goes through your transition?
You know, Bryce is like the most positive guy ever. So he came in the huddle, and it was like, you know, it wasn't a big thing for him at all. He made the play call. He was smiling when he made the play call.
Was he really?
Yeah. It didn't faze him at all. You know, we're sitting there going, you know, hey, Bryce, got your back. You got this. And he's, you know, he's like, y'all don't have to get my back. You know, I got this. I can handle this. And I was happy for him. I was happy they did well.
That's some kind of moxie then. I know he's in his second year because everybody acts like he's a rook and things like that, but his second year in the system. And speaking of Gailey, how about the play call, Breno, there? He comes in, doesn't hand the football off, says, okay, we're going to set you up with a little wide receiver screen, and you guys got up and got out and blocked in front of him.
That was good. You know,
running back screen, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, get a pass complete, get his confidence going. I get to cut a guy, you know, at least you try to, you know. It felt good, man. You know, we just keep going. The best thing about this league is that good teams have depth, and this year especially, we've shown that.
Speaking of that, talk about the play of your offensive line. You've gone deep into the depth of the offensive line. Yeah. Ajalana's played, Aquali's played, Wesley's played. There's been a lot of guys on that line.
You know, ever since I've been here, the guys in this room have prepared like they're the starter. You know, we go to work Every single day we grind, man. And that's just what's expected of them, the next man up. You never know. You're always one play away, you know, to get hurt or to step up for somebody. So offensive linemen, we just put our heads down and go to work no matter what happens, you know. That's just how we're bred. That's how we're made.
Wes, pre-snap, what is the center's job in terms of protections, and how do you work with the quarterback?
Really, Fitz makes it easy. It's listen to Fitz and then interpret that to them. Tell them what to do after that.
Where's the mic, Johnson?
He could probably tell you better than I could, but Fitz makes it easy on us.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it tough to come in and look and sometimes different guys on either side of you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because with the old linemen, you guys are brothers, hand fist, all the other stuff. You feel each other. But sometimes because you got guys coming in and out with injury, how tough is that to stand next to and see somebody else in there and try to keep the same continuity going?
It is tough, but we practice it all the time. You know, so guys take a couple reps and we keep rotating. You know, in our room this year has been about all rotation. But like I said, we've done it before. We've done it in OTAs. This room is a good room. You know, we have fun with each other. We mesh together, mesh well, you know. Spend a lot of time with each other, so that helps. Really, it's just a little bit about technique here and there. But for the most part, we're doing the same thing as long as we can all listen to Johnson and get on the same page.
You guys are a tight-knit group. You just mentioned it. Do you get together weekly as a unit, and who's picking up the bill? Is Brennel?
Yeah, we get together sometimes too much.
Yeah.
But we try to, the young guys, you know, we try to be savvy about it and put it on the older guys. But I think they catch on, and, you know, we divvy it up evenly.
So what's the typical night out for you guys as far as getting the big dinner, getting the line all together?
You know, we like to go out sometimes before the games on Saturday nights. Sometimes we'll do something on Thursday nights. This year it's been, especially for home games, we'll do an O-line dinner. We went up to the Committed Pig in Morristown.
Okay.
And had a great time there.
Yeah.
And as far for who pays for it, we usually play credit card roulette. Everybody throws a card in the hat. Last one standing wins. So it's pretty fun.
What's a typical tab for you guys? Unlike a Committed Pig.
For all of us?
Yeah.
About $1,000. $800.
Woo! I hope none of the rookies got to handle that.
Not yet.
It's coming.
Oh, Brandon. If I'm Brandon Shell, I'm like, I don't want to go out with you guys.
He has to come, though. He's a rookie.
You know? He has to come out. Yeah. He's got to pay.
Yeah.
How disappointing is the season right now for you guys as far as the record is concerned? I mean, when you started the training camp, you had high expectations. This was a 10-win team last year. You come back and see things haven't fallen the way you wanted to. How disappointing is it right now?
Yeah, that's what you work for in the offseason. You know, you try to build off last year. But it just goes to – the league is so tight, you know. You can't make a handful of mistakes and expect to win a game, you know. I think we're really trying to find our way a little bit. Yeah, this is my second game back, so I really can't speak much to that. But in some form, it's disappointing. But, you know, we still have next week. We got to go 1-0 next week and try to get the snowball effect going again and see what happens. You know, this is a crazy league. It's still too early, I think, to, mm-hmm. you know, how disappointing it is or whatever. But, you know, we just got to keep fighting, and we'll see what happens.
When do you start diving into film on the upcoming opponent? Because for somebody like you on the interior, yesterday in Miami was Ndamukong Suh. And, like, to Breno's point, the league is so tight. Now this week it's Aaron Donald, one of the better interior players in all of football.
Mm-hmm. Well, we looked at it a little bit today. Tomorrow's our off day. So individually, you know, we'll check out our iPads. We'll try to watch some tape. And then Wednesday, you know, we'll get the game plan. We'll get all the play call sheets and stuff like that, and we'll really try to get in-depth into what they do and, you know, try to figure out our game plan from there and practice to get better for it.
Well, guys, listen, thanks for stopping by tonight, and we appreciate it. Make sure you come by and see us again, and good luck the rest of the season.
Larry's got the tab tonight.
All right.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Definitely.
For having us.
Thanks, guys.
But I got a limit. I got a limit.
It might be too late. But
might be a big phone call.
Yeah, I'll be calling my wife. Brendo Giacomini, Wesley Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. FanDuel helps bring you Inside the Jets, presented by EY. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Make sure you are sports rich. All right, it's your time. 1-800-919-3776. We'll get your thoughts when Inside the Jets rolls on here at Calandra's on 98.7 ESPN.
At Selective, insurance is our business. For us, it goes beyond who we are. It's in our DNA.
My car was broken into and my laptop was stolen. I didn't know what to do. Scott and Selective were there to help. He walked me through every step of the process. Now I tell everyone about Selective's wonderful service.
We create diamond moments like this for our customers every day.
Want to experience your own? Visit Selective.com to find an agent near you.
Hey Jets fans, nothing beats being there live to cheer your favorite team on to victory. Prime Sport, the official travel partner of the Jets, is your source for tickets, hotel accommodations, and VIP experiences to all of the biggest sporting events in the country. From NFL to college football and basketball, get your official tickets, travel, and VIP packages and more at PrimeSport.com. Don't just watch it on TV. Go to PrimeSport.com for the ultimate game day experience.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. While NFL coaches and players use Surface Pro 4 this season, fans at home can show their fandom with the same device. Now available, the Surface Special Edition NFL Type Covers. And for a limited time, buy a Surface Pro 4 and any NFL Type Cover and get 15% off NFL Game Pass and a chance to win Super Bowl 51 tickets. Visit surface.com/NFL to learn more. Get your Surface at a Microsoft store or online today. Must be U.S. resident, 18 or older, and January 1st, 2017. See website for official rules.
Hey, Jet fans. Everyone loves to stay connected, but the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission would like to remind you that texting or talking while you drive is not only dangerous, it's against the law in New Jersey. It can cost you money, your license, or even someone's life. If you're behind the wheel, please put down the phone and just drive. Get the facts and share your thoughts at JustDrive.com. This message brought to you by the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission.
Football is back, and if you love fantasy sports, there's only one place you want to play. FanDuel. FanDuel packs a full season of excitement into just 1 week. So, what are you waiting for? Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. FanDuel. Be sports rich. Try FanDuel now. New users who deposit will get 5 free entries to 50-50 NFL beginner contests. One per week for 5 weeks. Just go to FanDuel.com and use the code EMPIRE. That's FanDuel.com, code EMPIRE. Void where prohibited.
Hi, this is Eric Decker from the New York Jets. Bullying and cyberbullying have reached alarming proportions among our youth. That is why the Jets and I have teamed up with Stomp Ball Bullying to tackle bullying in the tri-state area. Stomp Ball Bullying is a leading national anti-bullying and cyberbullying organization for kids and teens in the U.S. If you or someone you know is a victim of bullying, please go to StompBallBullying.org for help.
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Welcome back to Colangelo's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. Special thanks to our guests, Leonard Williams, Bruno Giacomini, and Wesley Johnson. Now we're going to talk to you, 1-800-919-3776. Before that, EA, obviously, interesting situation in the game yesterday. Todd Bowles decided not to start Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson. They sat in the first quarter. Todd Bowles talked about it afterwards, the game yesterday, said it was a coach's decision. Today, he said it's something that was handled in-house. He said it on the conference call, said it on the Michael Kay show. Is this something now that can be, do you think, and you're in the locker room a lot, is this something that can be a distraction as we move forward with these guys?
Well, Todd Bowles was asked, plain and simple, are you satisfied with the commitments of both of these players? And he said, yes, I am. There are a lot of things that happen in-house with every team in the National Football League that you don't hear about, right?
Yep.
Todd Bowles, he knows his team. He knows his players better than anybody. So things going behind closed doors and happening behind closed doors, he's going to keep them right there. He'll talk about football. He'll talk about injuries with the media and things like that, but he's not going to get into those other things that are pertinent to his football team. And he was very clear about it today. He is satisfied with both of the commitments from Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson. They were benched for the first quarter of that ball game against the Miami Dolphins as the Jets came out with Leonard Williams, flanked by Steve McClendon, of course, and then Jarvis Jenkins.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones and say hello to Ira on line one. Ira, you're up first on Inside the Jets.
Hey, good evening, guys. What's happening?
Hey,
Eric, that was real interesting what you just mentioned, you know, with the rotation when they came out. And, you know, for what, actually, it worked pretty well, except for those penalties. I think they did a pretty good job of stopping the run. Unfortunately, they had those personal fouls, and that's really where they got the chunk of their yards. But, you know, going into the red zone problems this year, you know, going into next year, while we are developing some young players, I'm glad you had Johnson on because, you know, Mangold to me is, you know, he's a future Hall of Famer, but sometimes it's a changing in the cards, and we're watching it with our own eyes, because I think he's doing a fabulous job, and I think he has a bright future. But, you know, getting with the red zone problems, they really have to get a tight end next year. You know, I know Anunua was a hybrid last year, but you saw what the Dolphins did yesterday. They doubled up on Anunua. Maxwell took Marshall, and they could pretty much single Anderson, and that's why Anunua really wasn't much of a factor except for one big play. So, you know, that's where they're hurting, you know, with the lack of being committed to running the ball in the red zone and not having that tight end, you know, a legitimate tight end to throw to. I think that's really what it boils down to, and until they address that, they're going to continue to struggle in the red zone.
All right, Ira, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, listen, the more options you have in the red zone, the better you are. I think last year, EA, they were able to run the ball a bit more effectively in the red zone, more consistently, which opened up some things with the passing game because teams had to defend the run. This year, it's not as been as consistent execution-wise, and I think those are some of the reasons why they haven't been able to go in the red zone. Of course, Eric Decker not being there is another reason.
Decker, you know, and they won't use it as an excuse. And I keep on saying that every team deals with injuries, but when you look at the kind of chemistry he had with Ryan Fitzpatrick, especially inside the 20-yard line, you cannot replace that. And the Jets are operating without number 87 this year, and his efficiency inside the 20 also helped Brandon Marshall. We know that, and the Jets continue to adapt down there and try to find ways as far as punching the ball into the end zone, and they have to figure that out down the stretch. Like we were talking about with these guys is that I was encouraged by what I've seen from the run game the past 3 weeks in the first half against the Miami Dolphins. But when you get down inside there, when that field shrinks, they got to find a way. Now, Ira's talking about lack of tight end production. Kellen Davis not in the lineup yesterday. He's been used as a tight end, as a run-blocking tight end for the Jets. We know that. Austin Seferian Jenkins, he got in a few snaps yesterday. Big target, claimed off waivers from Tampa. But this is a team that thrived last year with a lot of production in terms of catches from the tight end position, and they've had to continue to play without that big target at tight end this year. And then you couple that with the loss of Decker, and it has been tough inside the 20, bottom line.
Has been. Like to see, they've done it a little bit. I like to see more of Powell and Forte together.
Yeah.
Like to see a little bit more of that. I thought it was effective when they did it on the couple
of
occasions.
You know, the thing about Forte, though, is he's got 7 rush touchdowns. He's never had double-digit rush touchdowns in any season going back to 2008. So he's on pace for a personal best.
Yeah.
And he got in the end zone again yesterday. He's got touchdowns in 3 consecutive games on the ground. That's the first time he's done that since 2008. So there's a bright spot for you.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Jack in Marlborough on line 2. Jack, you're up next on Inside the Jets.
Thank you. Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
Let me ask you a question. This is beyond the red zone. We had, like yesterday, a 3rd and a half for a first down, I think by midfield. And then all of a sudden they come out with an empty backfield. Why would you do that, considering it's a running play to begin with, and it's just a little option? You want to run the ball, pass it. The defense questions. You got 5 man. You have 5 receivers out there. You're not going to run the ball because there's no receivers there. It's giving away one of your.
You're talking about the first. You're talking about the first series in the 3rd quarter, right?
Yes, exactly, yes.
Yep.
It was at midfield.
Yeah, because Forte came out. They had 2 carries for 9 yards. I think it had a 6-yard run and a 3-yard run. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at that 3rd-and-1 situation. Yeah, a lot of people would say you want to run there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Miami was doing. Obviously,
they're probably something they saw.
Heavy box, no doubt about it. They actually tried to get the ball to Forte there. I think it was an incomplete pass. You can point to the Jets' inefficiency offensively in the 3rd quarter to sustain what they had started in the first half, because they scored in the first 3 possessions, and then they went 3 and out there. And then their 2nd possession started in their own zone, by their own end zone in minus territory, and that was when Fitzpatrick was intercepted for the first time by a dropping defensive tackle. Then all of a sudden, you don't get the ball until late in the 3rd quarter, and that's the drive where Fitz ended up getting hurt. Petty came on, he got the field goal, but Miami held the ball a lot in that 3rd quarter, and the offensive rhythm went away for the Jets.
It did. All right, partner, nice job. We'll return next week. We'll review the Jets and the Los Angeles Rams as they go into the bye week for this one. A home game for the Jets. How about that? And this is going to be
3 straight coming up, Larry.
3 straight, that's right. 1 going into the bye, 2 coming out. Yep. All right, partner, see you next week.
Thanks, Larry.
That wraps up this edition of Inside the Jets, brought to you by our friends at EY. Once again, special thanks to Leonard Williams, Bruno Giacomini, and Wesley Johnson. Gerald for his technical expertise here. Christine and Ray back in our New York studios, where we will go and hear from Dave Rothenberg. He is next on 98.7 ESPN.
At Selective, insurance is our business.